Hello, everyone. I'm Kennedy, along with Judge Jeanine Pirro, Richard Fowler, Pete Hegseth, and Greg Gutfeld. It is 5 o'clock in New York City, and this is The Five. We are awaiting former President Donald Trump and House Speaker Mike Johnson to talk about election integrity. They are at Mar-a-Lago, and we will bring it to you live the moment it happens. But now let's get to this. Desperate Joe Biden is in a panic as Donald Trump hoovers up black support like no Republican in history. The big guy trying to win back the key voter group by giving a live virtual address at Reverend Al Sharpton's annual civil rights conference.
There are real threats we face. There are more extreme voices out there who simply don't want to see people of color in the future of our country. They want to turn back the clock. Voter suppression, election suppression, ripping away reproductive freedom, getting affirmative action, gutting it, and attacking diversity across American life. These extremists are determined to erase the progress we've made. But together we are determined to make history, not erase it.
Problem is, the dawn is catching on with African Americans. The latest aggregated Fox News national surveys show Donald Trump tripling his support among black men and black women since 2020. And sleepy Zoom call is no match for the dawn's retail politics game. Trump hitting up a Chick-fil-A in Atlanta and handing out over 30 milkshakes. One supporter is going viral after giving the former president a big old hug. And what she said about the media should have Democrats quaking in their boots. Watch.
I don't care what the media tells you, Mr. Trump. We support you.
That woman later giving the media more jazz.
We were able to not only let him know that regardless of what social media says, you know, I know they're trying to make us think we're supposed to hate you, but we don't. And additionally, it was a learning experience for my students because they were able to see and experience firsthand how the media can warp the perception of an opinion or a person.
She's absolutely right, Richard. So this is very interesting because the president so far in some of these battleground polls is doubling his support, particularly with black men. And what are the issues affecting them? They're not voting as a blob. They're individuals who are as concerned about the economy and immigration as any other voter in the country. Does this surprise you?
No, it doesn't. I've actually done some reporting on this for both Forbes and BET. And I think the media in general, right, including right here at our network, I think what we've gotten wrong is I think we see the election, especially for black male voters, in this binary of voting for Trump or voting for Biden, when the truth of the matter is there's three choices. They could either choose, they could also choose to sit this election out. I've done two stories about how
maybe
black male.
Four choices?
Maybe, and there could be four choices, sure. But when you talk to black male voters, right, no matter where they live, and I've done reporting all across the country on this, what you find is they'll tell you the same thing. On average, they're at the bottom of all of the quality of life indicators in this country. And they'll tell you that life hasn't gotten much better, whether it was George Bush, whether it was Barack Obama, whether it was Donald Trump, whether it was Joe Biden. They still feel that their lives have not improved under any presidency, which is why the idea of them sitting this election out is so easy for them to do. But I think there's an interesting electoral marker to consider when you think about black men. In 2023 in Ohio, where the reproductive health was on the ballot, reproductive access for women was on the ballot, the group that voted in the highest percentage for protecting a woman's right to have reproductive health or access to abortion was actually black men by 8 points. They voted 88% to protect a woman's right to have an abortion, outvoting white women, outvoting black women, outvoting every other subgroup, which says to me as an analyst that these voters, they might be up for grabs, but when they show up to vote at the polls, they tend to vote on issues that you wouldn't expect them to vote on.
But one of the issues that they are voting on, Judge, is immigration. And, you know, one of the things that they are not getting from this administration is reassurance that the president and his administration are going to protect their jobs.
Well, they're certainly not getting any reassurance from this administration. And in fact, I think one of the reasons that we're seeing more of the African-American community move toward Donald Trump is because of immigration, because of the fact, if you look at places like Chicago, you know, the minority community, the black and the brown community in the inner cities are losing to the immigrants who are taking taking over places where they had after-school programs or projects that kept kids out of gangs and all that. And they're prioritizing the immigrants over them, subjugating the African American and the minority community. But, you know, when I have to comment on Joe Biden. When he gets up there and he's not willing to answer a question, he's zooming in to Al Sharpton's meeting there. At least Kamala Harris showed up. I don't know if she answered any questions. But he said there are people who want to turn back the clock. There are people who don't want to see you get ahead. I mean, that is the kind of evil messaging that is not part of the factual basis that people are living in today. They look back at how their lives were 4 years ago. In fact, how their lives were right before Joe Biden took office. And they know it was better under Donald Trump. So you know what? You can threaten them, scare them, and tell them that, you know, these people are trying to put you back in chains, which I think is what Joe Biden has said. Mm-hmm. And it's just not the case. Blacks are smarter than that.
He also said, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black.
Right.
He said that. He said that on a radio show. But, you know, Pete, we look at some of these numbers and it shouldn't be wholly surprising because the president has doubled his support. What happens if he doubles it again before the election? And how likely is that based on some of the immigration and economic numbers?
It's possible. I mean, these polls are definitely or probably voting for Trump. That seems fairly definitive. Yes, some could decide not to vote, but definitely or probably is pretty strong. And those numbers are staggering. We had them up for a second, but 6% of black women in 2020 voted for Trump. Oh, I think we've got a press conference.
And speaking of Trump, Fox News alert, Donald Trump and Speaker Mike Johnson holding a press conference right now. Let's listen in.
We have a border that's open. We have a lot of problems in our country. And we have an election problem, and that's really what we're here to talk about today. Speaker Johnson's going to be briefing you on what we discussed, what we agree on. But I would like to demand that our border be closed because we have millions of people coming into our country. Millions and millions of people are pouring in at levels that nobody's reporting, nobody's going to talk about. But I believe you could have 15 million already in. Some are terrorists. They come from jails and prisons. They come from mental institutions and insane asylums. They come from all over the world, not just South America. They're coming from all over the world. Venezuela announced that their crime is down 67% because of the fact that they've taken the gang members, the leaders and the members, and they've deposited them very nicely into the United States of America. That's just Venezuela. It's happening with the Congo. It's happening with countries all over Africa, Asia, South America, all over the world it's happening. Our country is like a dumping ground, and we're going to have it stopped. And Biden should do it immediately. He should close the border immediately. He needs no legislation. He doesn't need this gentleman. He doesn't need anybody. He can do it. I did it without any legislation. I had the best border we've had in ever recorded history. He can close it immediately. If he would have left, we had stay in Mexico, remain in Mexico. We had catch and release in Mexico, not here. We had everything. It was perfect. It was a great situation we had, and now we have the worst ever. I don't believe in the history of the world there's been a border like this. But we probably have 15 million people, and they come from places that you don't want to know about, and they're going to be big problems, and it's getting worse. It's migrant crime. It's a new category of crime, migrant crime. And I'm just demanding, as a citizen, I demand the border has to be closed. Our country cannot take it. No country could take it. It's not sustainable by any country. And we want to also mention election interference, and we want to talk about election integrity for a little while. But basically, that's what we're working on. And I'll introduce the speaker, who you know very well. He's doing a really good job under very tough circumstances. And I appreciate he came to Mar-a-Lago. We have a great conference, and there's a big turnout because people want this to be healed. They want our country to be healed. They want our country to be united. And I think most people are united on the fact that they don't want people pouring in from prisons and jails and mental institutions. They don't want that to happen. They don't want it to take place. And it's not going to happen for long. And that's why I say that November 5th is going to be the most important day in the history of our country. That's the election. It's going to be the most important day in the history of our country. Thank you very much. And Speaker, thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. President, and it's good to see you all. We're so delighted to be here with our former and future president in this beautiful facility. Mar-a-Lago is famous around the country, and we're grateful to be here. With President Trump as our nominee in the party, we are very much looking forward to that historic day in November, because we are going to grow the House majority, we're going to win the United States Senate, and we're going to win back the White House as well. The American people need us to do that. They're excited for that day, and November cannot get here soon enough. The Speaker of the House, when we're not in session, the Speaker is required to go around, fly around the country, and be with all of our candidates and incumbents all around. I've been to 23 states now in the last several weeks, and everywhere we go, one of the first questions that people ask about is this issue of election integrity. The border is the number one issue in America. There's never been a political issue that scored so high in the polls as a matter of concern. And it doesn't matter where anyone lives, because as we say now, every state is a border state. They're deeply concerned about that. And election integrity is tied to border, the lack of border security. President Biden has created a catastrophe, and he did it by design. We documented 64 specific executive actions that he took from the day he walked into the Oval Office and that his agencies took under Secretary Mayorkas to open the border wide, to invite everybody from around the world to come here, including hardened criminals and dangerous persons. And the result, we all know. The official number is 9 million encounters at the southern border alone just since Joe Biden took office. But the actual number is probably close to 16 million illegals who have come into the country because they desired it. They designed it. They engineered it to be that way. His actions did that. He ended the Remain in Mexico policy under President Trump's administration. They reinstated catch and release that had been practiced under the Obama administration. They stopped building the wall. They did everything exactly the opposite of what this president had achieved. And that's why we have this catastrophe. It has all sorts of terrible effects on the American people. We know that fentanyl is the leading cause of death for Americans age 18 to 49. We know that violent crimes are being committed on innocent Americans now. Lake and Riley and many others. We're now losing their lives because these dangerous people are in our country, and it must stop. And the American people are demanding that it does. And it doesn't matter which political party that any American is in. They have the same desire. They want safety and security, and we can supply that. But among the problems that flows from this open border catastrophe is directly related to this threat to our election integrity. Why is that? You need to understand something really important about federal law. Since 1993, the National Voter Registration Act, we call it the Motor Voter Law, allows people to sign up to vote when they get a driver's license. If an individual only asserts or simply states that they are a citizen, they don't have to prove it. They can register that person to vote in a federal election. And you see, states are currently prohibited. Believe it or not, the states are prohibited from asking someone to prove that they're a citizen. The federal voter registration form just has a checkup box, and if you do that, you're good. The states can't allow it. Well, we think that's a serious problem. And so what we're going to do is the House Republicans are introducing a bill that will require proof of citizenship to vote. It seems like common sense. I'm sure all of us would agree. We only want U.S. citizens to vote in U.S. elections. But there are some Democrats who don't want to do that. We believe that one of their designs, one of the reasons for this open border, which everybody asks all around the country, why would they do this? Why would they allow all this chaos? Why the violence? Because they want to turn these people into voters. Right now, the administration is encouraging illegals to go to their local welfare office to sign up for benefits. Well, guess what? When you go to a welfare office, they also ask you if you would like to register to vote. And so many people, we think, are going to do that. And you know what? The numbers are so high. There's so many millions of illegals in the country that if only 1 out of 100 voted, they would cast potentially hundreds of thousands of votes in the election. That could turn an election. This could be a tight election in our congressional races around the country. It could, if there are enough votes, affect the presidential election. And so that's why House Republicans are going to act. I'm going to announce to you today, here standing alongside President Trump, that we will do everything within our power to ensure that we do have free and fair elections in this country. If we don't have that in a constitutional republic, we have nothing. It's the basis of who we are as a nation, and we owe that to the American people. And so what we're going to do is introduce legislation to require that every single person who registers to vote in a federal election must prove that they're an American citizen first. They have to prove it. That will be a new part of the federal law and a very important one. Our bill will establish new safeguards. It'll put us on par, by the way, with virtually every other democracy around the world that also prohibits non-citizen voting. And this is a critical thing for us to do at a very critical time. Our bill also will require states to remove non-citizens from their existing voter rolls. That's a big problem, too. And it will provide access to databases from the Department of Homeland Security and the Social Security Administration to help the states administer this. As the entity that is responsible for regulating federal elections, Congress has this responsibility. We cannot wait for widespread fraud to occur, especially when the threat of fraud is growing with every single illegal immigrant that crosses that border. This is something most Americans are deeply concerned about. The latest poll says 78% of the Americans who are polled say that preventing illegal immigrants from voting in our elections is a top priority. In every place I've gone around the country, whether it's out west, Midwest, Long Island, deep south, it doesn't matter. Everybody is concerned about this. We have a job to do. Here's what you need to look for, and I'll turn it back to the president. When we put this bill on the floor, you're going to see a record vote by Republicans and Democrats. You'll see that the Republicans stand for election integrity. And then we'll be able to ask this very important question of the Democrats. They're going to have to go on record. Do you believe that Americans and Americans alone should be the ones who vote in American elections? We're about to find out their answer. And I think that will be a very interesting one for everybody to see. Mr. President, thank you again for hosting us today. I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Do you have any questions? We're getting along very well with the speaker, and I get along very well with Marjorie. We have a speaker. He was voted in, and it was a complicated process, and I think it's not an easy situation for any speaker. I think he's doing a very good job. He's doing about as good as you're going to do, and I'm sure that Marjorie understands that. She's a very good friend of mine, and I know she has a lot of respect for the speaker.
Was to move forward with it?
We're looking at it right now, and they're talking about it, and we're thinking about making it in the form of a loan instead of just a gift. We keep handing out gifts of billions and billions of dollars, and we'll take a look at it. But much more importantly to me is the fact that Europe has to step up and they have to give money. They have to equalize. If they don't equalize, I'm very upset about it because they're affected much more than we are. The Ukraine situation would have never happened if I was president. Would have never, ever happened. And everybody says that, including Democrats, that it happened is such an outrage. People, millions of people are dead right now, both sides. Millions of people are dead. Cities are blown to ashes. You'll never rebuild those cities. That's certainly not like they were, so beautiful. And this is something should have never happened. October 7th should have never happened in Israel. Should have never happened. What happened there was outrageous. Iran was broke when I was president. People weren't buying oil from Iran. They weren't allowed to. If they were going to buy oil from Iran, then they weren't going to do any business in the U.S. And I said it to China. I said it to everybody. They weren't doing business. They were broke. They didn't have money for Hamas. They didn't have money for Hezbollah. It would have never happened. October 7th would have never happened. It did happen. And now it's a disaster. And it's only getting worse. So it's very sad. No, I stand with the speaker. We've had a very good relationship.
Mr. President, while you were in office, you said that you would sign a federal abortion ban if Congress sent it to your desk. Why should Americans trust your word that you would not do it now if you were reelected?
Because we don't need it any longer, because we broke Roe v. Wade, and we did something that nobody thought was possible. We gave it back to the states, and the states are working very brilliantly, in some cases conservative, in some cases not conservative, but they're working, and it's working the way it's supposed to. Every legal scholar, real legal scholar, wanted to have it go back to the states. Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative. And we're able to do that. You know, what we did was give it back to the states. And now the states are working their way through it. And you're having some very, very beautiful harmony, to be honest with you. You have some cases like Arizona that went back to like 1864 or something like that. And a judge made a ruling. But that's going to be changed by government. They're going to be changing that. I disagree with that. Excuse me, please.
Just a follow-up. Over the last few decades, Mr. President, you have both considered yourself pro-choice and pro-life. Which one is it?
Well, you know exactly which one it is. And when I was in New York and when I was a Democrat also, just like Ronald Reagan, you know, Ronald Reagan was a Democrat, which sort of followed a very similar path. But if you look at what we've done with Roe v. Wade, we did something that everyone said couldn't be done, and we got it done. And I give great credit to the Supreme Court and the justices for having the courage to do it. What they did is very simply give it back to the state. And I'll tell you, the Democrats are the radicals on this because they're willing to have abortions in the 7th, 8th, 9th month. They're even willing, and you can call it what you want, but you go back to the governor of Virginia, the previous governor of Virginia, the Democrat governor of Virginia, where he talked about execution of a baby after birth. And you can say what you want, but that's extreme and that's radical, and nobody should have that, and it has to be ended. Please, go ahead. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, sir. Mr. President, do you think the motion to vacate rules should be finally changed, or do you think that it's just creating chaos right now?
Well, it's unfortunate that people bring it up because right now we have much bigger problems. The country is we're a nation in decline. We're a declining nation. We have tremendous inflation. The inflation's coming back at levels that nobody thought they really would have. If you look at the categories of inflation, they have the worst categories. Many categories are not included. And if you included that, your inflation number would be substantially higher than it is now. And it's already at records. So inflation is back and a lot of bad things are happening in our country. But that's the least of it. You've got Russia could end up in you could end up in a world war between Russia, Ukraine and all of the chaos. And that's something should have never happened. It would have never happened. What's going on with Israel, October 7th, and what's going on with Israel could end up in a world war. We have a president that can't put two sentences together. We have a president that can't find the stairs off a stage. We have a president that doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And we could end up in a world war. You know, we have just a little bit less than 7 months now, months before November 5th. But that's an eternity when people are incompetent. Go ahead, please.
Do you support the House's FISA bill that was passed this morning?
Which one?
The FISA bill. And did you talk to any—
Well, I'm not a big fan of FISA. I looked at it and I studied it and I know it probably better than anybody. You know, they spied on my campaign. You do know that, right? And they did lots of other bad things. I'm not a big fan of FISA, but I told everybody, I said, do what you want. They put a lot of checks and balances on, and I guess it's down to 2 years now so that it would come due in the early part of my administration on the basis that we live up to the polls, because all the polls, we just had another one come out. We're leading by a lot. But it comes out quickly. I said, you do what you want. But I'm not a big fan of FISA. I think it's terrible. Yeah, Bob?
You plan to testify in your trial in New York?
Yeah, I would testify, absolutely. It's a scam. It's a scam. That's not a trial. That's not a trial. That's a scam. If you read Jonathan Turley, if you read Andy McCarthy, if you read the legal, they said there's not even a case there. That's election interference by the Biden administration. They actually took their top guy, one of their top guys, put him into the DA's office to run it, and it's a shame. What they have done is incredible. It's election interference, and it's got to stop. It's a third world country. This country's never done it. But you read Jonathan Turley, you read Andrew McCarthy, you read the legal scholars, every single one of them said that whole thing is a scam. It's not even a crime. And what they're doing is a crime. They are criminals. All right, Bob?
On that. Why do you believe it is important for you to testify, take the stand in this upcoming trial? And what are you watching as jury selection begins in New York?
Well, you know, jury selection is largely luck. It depends who you get. It's very unfair that I'm having a trial there. It's very unfair that we have this judge who hates Trump and has tremendous conflict, as you know, tremendous conflict. Nobody can believe that this judge isn't recusing himself. The conflict is at a level that nobody's ever seen before. So I have that, and I have venue. We have all these things that we've asked for. They don't give us anything. It's a witch hunt that takes place in New York and that is taking place, and it's very bad for New York, and it's very bad for the judicial system in New York.
Is it risky for you to testify?
I'm testifying. I tell the truth. I mean, all I can do is tell the truth. And the truth is that there's no case. They have no case. And Again, you have to read the scholars, read all of the legal scholars. I haven't seen one legal scholar that said this is a case. And in fact, even you people said, oh, gee, that's too bad. This is the first one. All of them are scams. They're all about election interference. We have a president that doesn't know where he is. He can't speak. The whole world is collapsing. The world is on fire. They have no respect for our country anymore. And the only way he thinks he can win is by doing this, you know, trials of Trump. We have Fani in Atlanta, who's been so discredited now. That was a setup with her boyfriend so they could take trips and take a lot of money out. And that's something that should be dismissed. Not just the prosecutor dismissed, the case should be dismissed. Every single one of them said, look at what happened with Biden. He gets off scot-free with 50 years of documents and classified information. He gets off scot-free. And I'm still fighting that trial. The whole thing is a disgrace, and it's a disgrace to our nation.
Have you spoken with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu? How should the United States respond? And the same question for you, Mr. Speaker.
I don't want to say who I spoke to, but for the president of our country to actually put out a warning that he thinks that we're going to be attacked or they're going to be attacked, that's pretty pathetic. They wouldn't be attacking Israel if I were president, that I can tell you. And they never did. They wouldn't be attacking. Iran was in no position to attack. They had no money. They were broke. But now they have $221 billion, and they have Iraq, who has $300 billion. And Iraq has become a subsidiary of Iran. With all that we've done, with all of the fighting, all of the death, look at what happened, how incompetent the whole thing is. But I don't want to say who I spoke to, but I think it's a very, very dangerous period. This is a very dangerous period of time in our nation. And a big reason that it's dangerous that we have a president that's grossly incompetent. Thank you all very much.
All right, there we go. That was the president, the former president of the United States. And Speaker Mike Johnson said the future president. What was your takeaway from that, Greg?
Well, we opened the show with Joe doing his identity shuffle, spewing these, you know, catchphrases spoon fed to him by some DEI clone. Now compare that to this guy. You know, Joe is the mummy on Metamucil. That was Godzilla with gonads the size of Pluto. I bet there are male Democrats right now going, why can't we have that in our party? Where is that man? Where is that type of person? And instead we have this emasculated husk of a has-been who can only operate on identity catchphrases that were just given to him. This is related to the segment's initial topic. It's not just Black and brown men leaving the party. It's all men. Blacks just happen to be the caboose of this train leading the exodus out of the party. They appreciate things like law and order, rules, priorities, security. You don't hear that from Biden. Instead, you hear about diversity, equity, inclusion, gender, trans. You know what? Abortion is not going to get men to vote, but a disregard for the certain laws and principles that keep a society safe and secure for a family, that gets them there. I believe that this is Trump's election to lose, which is why you're seeing the media freak out. And it's not just minority or white men. It's working men. It's tough to work hard and have the party that you belong to focus only on freeloaders, activists, and illegals. That pisses off men of every color. You know, they aren't fooled by the progressive tantrums of the non-binary screamers on TikTok that trigger the maternal instincts of the affluent white female libs. Awfuls. Thank you, Michael Malice. And the reason why there is such a problem with the quality of life is that men, not just black men, have been disregarded in this war on identity. You know, we used to champion the interconnectedness of women and men, right? We're different. We're yin and yang. But now it's us versus them because it's the oppression filter. Men sense when they're in a place that they aren't wanted, and they're starting to sense that it's the Republican Party where they are wanted.
All right. So Judge Greg brings up a number of points that former President Trump touched on. You know, one of them is he is running as a law and order candidate. But also he is facing this trial that starts on Monday. Are those two things combined, and how can he couple them together to be most appealing to voters?
Well, you know, Trump ran as a law and order candidate in 2016. And I remember when he started talking about law and order, the left was insulted. They said, oh, he's going to be a dictator. He's talking about law and order, which, you know, to me was music to my ears. It's in my DNA. But, you know, what he talked about today, and to answer your question directly, I think most people understand what's going on. They know that when he's talking about a Trump person, this guy Colangelo from the Department of Justice, who goes from the Department of Justice to the feds, to Jack Smith's office, to Fannie Willis's office, to Alvin Bragg's office, to help them out. I mean, you connect the dots. It's the Democrats trying to stop Trump. They've done everything. They've impeached him. They've spied on him. They've prosecuted and indicted him. I mean, there's nothing else they can do other than, I don't even want to mention it. But I think the important message today is that the president understands the intersection that we're at right now, which is immigration being the number one issue for people in this country, and the fact that the elections and election integrity is so important. Because if the illegals start to vote, they're going to vote Democrat. They come across the border with Joe Biden on their shirt. They love Joe Biden. You know, what he said, I didn't even know. I didn't know that if you go to a welfare office, they're going to say to you, would you like to register to vote? I didn't know about, I mean, I know motor voter registration. You go in, you can sign up to vote there, too. So we have to make sure, in order to get rid of this lawless society that we live in, where progressives are letting everyone out in the name of diversity, which is absurd, making us victims, all of us, that the only way to protect this country is to protect election integrity. And that means you want to vote, show me you're a citizen. You want to vote, show me that you are worthy of voting. Because even though there is a law that says you can't vote if you're illegal, the truth is New York City, a couple of months ago, wants 800,000 illegals to vote in the next election. So this is a war, and they're on the front line, and I absolutely applaud him. And what he said about Venezuela, that crime is down 67% in that country. Not only is crime down, violent crime, the murders in Venezuela are the lowest they've been in 20 years. Why? Because they're here.
Oh, how exciting. That doesn't sound like great news, Richard, but the good news is Democrats and Republicans seem to be united on the free and fair election issue. They're both saying the exact same thing. We have to protect democracy, and we have to protect the integrity of our elections.
True. And I want to start where the judge left off, which is the ideal of law and order, because I think this press conference was built as an election integrity press conference. And what the speaker got wrong was the law that was passed, the motor voter law was passed in 1993. In 1996, the Congress passed the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigration Responsibility Act. Mm-hmm. That act makes it explicitly illegal for non-citizens to vote. Now, there is, in some places in New York, in Tacoma Park, in Maryland, there are instances where non-citizens can vote in local municipal elections. That does not mean that they can vote in federal elections, and there is no evidence.
But you trust?
Wait a minute. Allow me to finish. According to the Heritage Foundation's database on voter fraud, for non-citizens, there's been fewer than 50 cases of non-citizens voting in elections since 2002. Mm-hmm. So the idea that there's this mass voter fraud happening where illegals are running to the polls and voting in mass numbers, there's zero evidence. Not only is the Heritage
Foundation
interrupt anybody.
You know that, right?
But not only is the Heritage Foundation said this, the Bipartisan Policy Center has said this, the Brennan Center for Justice has said this, the FBI has said this over and over and over again. People keep saying that there's voter fraud and there's no evidence of voter fraud. There's no evidence of non-citizens voting in federal elections. And until they prove that, then this press conference
then
was
null and void. Then why has the vice president been tasked with saving our elections if everything's fine?
What do you mean tasked with saving our elections?
Well, because Donald Trump.
She is the czarina, not only of the border, but also.
No. She's the czarina of doing anything necessary to defeat Donald Trump.
We're talking about the Voting Rights Act, and we're talking about non-citizens voting.
Let's get Pete Hegseth.
Here's what we're talking about. In 2020, COVID happens, and legislatures and governors and others changed the voting rules dramatically. Getting rid of signature requirements, massive mail-out balloting, zero accountability, no chain of custody. And in between 2020 and 2024, what happened? your boy, let 10 million plus illegals into this country.
And, still and we have no, no idea who they are. And then, including and they at live, the Heritage Foundation.
And they live and work in a lot of states where you don't need to be a citizen in order to get an ID. And then they go to a ballot box where they don't even have to show an ID to vote. So when I talk to people, they're ticked off about immigration. A lot of people, immigration is number one. But the next question they say to me is, Pete, but can Trump win? Will it be fair?
Will it be fair?
Yep. Every single time. And it's things like this. They need to push this issue all the way to the map, whether you cite
There's
previous laws or not.
Law.
The Democrats have proven they don't care about the law. They're not concerned about following it. They want ballots. And wherever those ballots come from, they'll take it. By the way, I didn't feel you shaking, but I could tell you, can you imagine Joe Biden having to debate that man?
Let's not change the subject.
No. That was my big takeaway from the press conference.
It was an election integrity press conference based on a law that already exists in the U.S. federal code.
And Joe Biden couldn't answer one question, which is why he won't debate.
That was also a rabid press corps who had a number of questions for the former president that had nothing to do with election integrity. But there's so much integrity here. We've got more of the five coming up. Stay with us.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Stay on top of the latest news and information from Fox News. Listen and download the Fox News Hourly Update on your time. The trending stories you need anytime you want it. Listen and download now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
Vision Dental 401k. And magic mushrooms. Some companies are now seriously offering psychedelics to treat mental health as a new benefit. More and more professionals are turning to mind-expanding substances like LSD, psilocybin, and ketamine to improve their performance. Elon Musk seems to be open to the idea of popping some acid with your boss. He said on X, quote, "If drugs actually helped improve my net productivity over time, I would definitely take them." All right, Greg, this seems to be your milieu. you know, the one thing that bothers me is that the long-term effects of some of this stuff can be very dangerous, and they can actually put you in a psychotic episode.
Well, you know, the thing is, like guns, drugs are a functional object. You don't conflate intention with function, so guns can save lives. Guns can take lives. Drugs, we use them every day. We have commercials in between our blocks that sell drugs, and they have tons of little warnings said really fast, so you really don't hear them. And there's no question psychedelics can have therapeutic effects under careful supervision. We're using this for PTSD and other things. It can have a positive experience, and they're helpful. My issue with drugs is the quick fix mentality that we're seeing. How can I use drugs to get me from point A to point B, whether point B is better at work, pleasure, or wisdom? If you deliver the benefits, whether it's enlightenment or wisdom, without the effort necessary to find that, you're going to miss out the value from the achievement. And that will diminish the result. So you're hearing a lot about people trying to get enlightenment from drugs, but that's temporary because it's disconnected from effort. Effort plus enlightenment equals wisdom. People do drugs to escape boredom. You ask me, I'm answering. Don't smirk. People do drugs to escape boredom and anxiety, but sometimes boredom and anxiety are necessary for you to take action. So let yourself feel before you do drugs.
Is it as simple?
She wasn't listening anyway.
I was trying to listen.
Were you listening? Did you get it?
I was trying to listen. I don't know that I understood it all, but it sounded. I didn't know that
I got it, Greg.
Wisdom from drugs.
What they're doing in Silicon Valley right now with the microdosing. I love it when people laugh because they don't read about this stuff. Is people think that's making them smarter?
Oh, my God.
Well, correct. So I want to pan it, but I know I can't, and I know I shouldn't, because I know too many guys, too many vets that have benefited from
Absolutely.
Controlled psychedelics and others when other post-traumatic stress medications or simply popping pills sent them in the other direction. Mm-hmm. I don't know that most workplaces are probably conducive to doing more drugs to
I just don't know enough about it. Pete, you know, if it makes you sharper, I mean, can you imagine if in the military, if people under your command said, you know what, if I take some psilocybin or something or microdose a little, it'll help me in combat.
Well, there are...
They do that already?
There is some of that already. Certainly, foreign adversaries that have no controls do a lot of that to
really
try to create super soldier type
fighter pilots in World War II.
But there are also a lot of things you're not allowed to take because you don't want the up and the down in the combat either.
Yeah.
And so you have to be careful about what that is.
One of the things, Kennedy, that they talk about is the depression that you go into when you're really high. And then when you go off it,
yes,
there is this swinging the other way.
We have to be very careful here talking about recreational use and people who are self-medicating because they have issues with addiction. Yes, they are going to experience depressive or psychotic episodes, and that can exacerbate whatever trauma they've been through and the addiction that has resulted from that. What I'm most interested in is the data and some of the studies that have been done, particularly, you know, Marcus Capone, who has taken vets to other countries, and through therapy-guided MDMA and other substances, they have achieved phenomenal results treating PTSD and in some cases curing PTSD, which the VA has not put forth enough medication, enough experts. They cannot get enough people to stay at the VA to properly treat some of the returning vets who have been diagnosed with PTSD. So if there is something else on the horizon that could truly help them, I am interested in the data. And I think we do need more research and we do need to help people who have fought and who need it most.
You know, it's, speaking of that, Richard, in 1970, some of this stuff was part of the Schedule I drugs, high potential for abuse, no medical value. And then 50 years later, it seems that they're recategorizing them, which goes to what we're speaking about.
And they should. I think clearly the cat must have jumped over the moon because I agree with Greg. But I think they're recategorizing them because when you actually study the methodology and the utilization of these drugs, you find out that there are some benefits to it. There's a 2013 study that was done by the University of South Florida that found that psilocybin stimulates neurogenesis, the growth and repair of brain cells in the hippocampus, which is the part of the brain that deals with emotion and memory. And so folks who are on in controlled settings in medical environments with these drugs, they're actually seeing amazing results. I think the warning here is don't just go do them randomly on the weekend. Yeah. Go find a medical professional who's trained in this. Get the therapy you need prior to taking these drugs, or taking this medicine, and then take it with medical supervision and the support of a medical setting. And if you do that, the benefits of it can actually be rewarding. There's studies from the University of South Florida. There's studies from Johns Hopkins, recent studies that show the benefits of these drugs. It's the same as marijuana. At one point in time, we thought it was the worst drug in the world, and we find out that there's actually a lot of benefits to it. And so I think we have to be very cautious of this, and we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater for something that seems to be actually working for folks. And it's from the ground.
Okay. Fan Mail Friday is up next.
The dramatic ride.
No.
Muscles from Michelle.
No, Bad Reputation.
Oh,
the Renaissance version. First question from C. Wells. This is just right from the last segment. If you planted a magic seed, what would you like to grow from it? I'm going to be you, Pete.
I think gummy bears would be amazing. Of any type.
Of any type?
Of any type. To go with our last segment.
Yes, yes.
A magic gummy bear plant.
Judge, magic seed.
Diamonds.
Diamonds. They're already doing that in the lab. Ooh. Richard?
Good shoes.
Ooh, interesting.
Gold from Lear Capital. Use hashtag Kennedy 20.
I'm going to go with world peace.
Good answer.
Only a magic seed can produce world peace. All right, I have time for one more. You meet your 19-year-old self. You're allowed to say three words. Kennedy, what do you say?
Hold on, bitch. Gonna get good.
Don't do it. Yeah.
Wow.
Life gets better.
Judge.
Slow down, honey.
I'm going to go with avoid bowling alleys. I won't understand it when I'm 19.
But you will.
Oh, I got another one. But I understand it now. Do you have a collection? Does anyone have a collection they are obsessed with and can't stop collecting?
Ah.
Ooh, Judge. Ooh.
Cranberry glass.
Cranberry glass. Wow. Richard?
Cranberry glass.
Yeah, forget it. It's just sick.
Shoes.
Something tells me Richard likes shoes.
I think military coins, you know, the coins that get handed. I mean, I have so many of them. I love them.
Wow, that's not like you at all.
This is so basic. Eyeglasses.
Eyeglasses. Oh. There you go. Yeah, I'm going to go with... what do I collect?
Sweaters.
Sweaters. I'm in a bit. I am a sweater. That was too obvious, but sweaters is really.
You're the new Mr. Rogers.
I am. Yes. Thank God you didn't say Bill Cosby. I saw you edit yourself.
Yep.
One more thing's up next.
We've never spoken, but you've told.
It is now time for one more thing. Let's start with Greg.
Oh, my God. One more thing. Tonight, 10 p.m., we got Julie Badadas, Jimmy Fallon, Dagan McDowell, my eyesight, Tyrus. Woo. And let's do this. Greg's ferret's going nuts in a foam pit. Let's roll it. It's exactly what I said it was. Ferrets going nuts in a foam pit. Yeah, look at them play. They do it all day. They're ferrets. Can you dig it?
I dig it.
Thank you.
I love it.
Judge?
Okay, have you ever had a piece of furniture in your house that, like, your decorator insists on having? Well, this bird had the same problem. They put a little birdhouse in this bird's birdhouse. He hated the birdhouse attached to the wall so much, he pecked and pried it off and then proceeded to take it outside where he actually dumps it. Safe to say, the interior decorator is no longer allowed in this birdhouse. And... I'll be on Hannity tonight. Look at that bird. You got to give him credit.
And you'll be the sexiest bird on Hannity.
I like that.
Do you think there's a birdhouse inside the birdhouse inside the birdhouse?
Make a little birdhouse in your soul. I hope so. He topped that.
You never know. So I'm announcing I got a new book coming out.
Yay!
June 4th. It's called The War on Warriors, Behind the Betrayal of the Men Who Keep Us Free. It's not just about how the military went woke. It's how the military allowed itself to go woke. Let politicians set the terms. Generals cowardly went along with it. And Greg, you like the back, if you want to read the back.
I
joined the military to fight extremists.
20 later, that same army labeled me one. I thought he meant this
picture.
Well,
that too.
Wait, come on, you guys. Look at that picture. I know where that's going.
Sassy and classy. Yeah.
But they did label me an extremist 20 years later, and we tell the whole story about how that happened. Whether it's white rage, extremism, the military's focused on all the wrong things, and it's bad for the warfighters.
Well, I've got a superstar who is a Korean War veteran who is now a DJ. His name is Captain Kirk. He's 94 years young, and he spends every Wednesday at the Spangle Drive Senior Center to the delight of their residents. Disc jockey, new hobby. He was a school bus driver till he was 91, and then he wanted to get hip. How great is Captain Kirk? Richard?
I'm sure he's spinning this woman, because talk about the Beyonce bounce. Western wear is trending because of Beyonce's new country album, Cowboy Carter. Cowboy boot sales have surged 20% since this album has been released. Not only that, online searches for cowboy hats, bolo ties, Levi jeans are all trending because of Queen Bee. And right now, her song, her album is number one on the country charts.
It really is.
Go ahead.
Not
Beyonce, sexist
album.
To the Beehive.
Yep. I do think Miley Cyrus had a better version of Jolene.
Can I read some of this?
It's still a great version.
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you to Fox Channel. Thank you to Fox News Channel, Fox Nation, and especially Greg Gutfeld, who helped me through this tough period. I don't think I could have written this book without your help.
And for the silly Simon.
Well, that's it for us.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Listen to The Five ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.